भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके।
This morning we're starting the eighth canto, chapter 1, text number 1 and 2. I'll read text number 1.
Sri Raja Vacha Svayambhuvasyaha Guru Vangshoyam Rajchuta Yatra Vishwasrijam Sargo Manun Anyan Vadasvana. Siraju Vacha, the King Maharaj Parikshit said, Swayambhuvasya, of the great personality Swayambhuva Manu, Iha, in this connection, Guru, O my spiritual master, Vamshaha, dynasty, I am this Vistarat, extensively, Shrutaha, I have heard from you, Yatra, wherein, Viswasrijam, of the great personalities known as the Prajapatis, such as Marichi. Sargaha, creation involving the birth of the many sons and grandsons from the daughters of Manu. Manun, Manus. Anyan, other. Vadasva, kindly describe Naha to us. King Parikshit said, O my Lord, my spiritual master, now I have fully heard from your grace about the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu. But there are also other Manus, and I want to hear about their dynasties. Kindly describe them to us. Number 2. Manvantare,
Manvantare,
Harer,
Harer,
Janma,
Janma,
Karmani,
Karmani,
Cha,
Cha,
Mahiyasaha,
Mahiyasaha,
Pranandi,
Pranandi,
Kavaya,
Kavaya,
Brahmans,
Dani,
Dani,
No,
Vada,
Srinvatam,
Manvantare Harer Janma,
Manvantare Harer Janma,
Karmani Cha Mahiyasaha,
Karmani Cha Mahiyasaha,
Grananti Kavayo Brahmansh,
Grananti Kavayo Brahmansh,
Tani No Vada Shrinvata,
Tani No Vada Shrinvata,
Manvantare Harer Janma,
Manvantare Harer Janma,
Karmani Cha Mahiyasaha,
Karmani Cha Mahiyasaha,
Grananti Kavayo Brahmansh,
Grananti Kavayo Brahmansh,
Tani No Vada Shrinvata,
Tani No Vada Shrinvata,
Manvantare Harer Janma,
Manvantare Harer Janma,
Karmani Cha Mahiyasaha,
Karmani Cha Mahiyasaha,
Grananti Kavayo Brahmansh,
Grananti Kavayo Brahmansh,
Tani No Vada Shrinvatam,
Tani No Vada Shrinvatam,
Manvantare,
Manvantare,
During the change of Manvantaras,
During the change of Manvantaras,
one Manu following another.
One Manu following another.
Hare.
Hare.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Janma.
Janma.
Appearance.
Appearance.
Karmani.
Karmani.
And activities.
And activities.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Mahiyasaha.
Mahiyasaha.
Of the supremely glorified.
Of the supremely glorified.
Granante.
Granante.
describe.
Kavayaha.
The greatly learned persons who have perfect intelligence. Brahman. O learned Brahmana. Sukadeva Goswami. Tani. All of them. Naha. To us. Vada.
Please describe.
Shrinvatam. Who are very eager to hear. Translation. O learned Brahmana Shukadeva Goswami, the great learned persons who are completely intelligent, describe the activities and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead during the various manvantaras. We are very eager to hear about these narrations. Kindly describe them to us. Possibly. O learned Brahmana Sukadeva Goswami.
O learned Brahmana Sukadeva Goswami.
The greatly learned persons who are completely intelligent. Describe the activities and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead
during the various manvantaras.
We are very eager to hear
about these narrations.
Kindly describe them.
Purport.
Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has different varieties of incarnations, including the guna avatars, manvantara avatars, lila avatars, and yuga avatars, all of which are described in the shastras. Without reference to the shastras, there can be no question of accepting anyone as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as especially mentioned here, Grananti Kavaya, the descriptions of various incarnations are accepted by great learned scholars with perfect intelligence. At the present time, especially in India, so many rascals are claiming to be incarnations, and people are being misled, right? Therefore, the identity of an incarnation should be confirmed by the descriptions of the shastras and by wonderful activities. As described in this verse by the word Mahiyashaha, the activities of an incarnation are not ordinary magic or jugglery, but are wonderful activities. Thus, any incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be supported by the statements of the Shastra and must actually perform wonderful activities. Parikshit Maharaj was eager to hear about the Manus of different ages. There are 14 Manus during a day of Brahma, and the age of each Manu lasts for 71 Yugas. Thus, there are thousands of Manus during the life of Brahma. Manvantare harer janma karmani cha mahiyasaha grananti kavayo brahmaṃ sthāni no vada śrinvatāṃ. O learned Brahmana, Sukadeva Goswami, the great learned persons, completely intelligent, describe the activities and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead during the various manvantaras. We are very eager to hear about these narrations. Kindly describe them.
There's the heart.
Hare Krishna.
Should I try again?
One more time.
Hare Bol.
Careful. Very sensitive personality I'm dealing with here. Hello. Out to lunch, that's all I can say. I want to read a nice introduction that Prabhupada has made. I'm not sure if he makes... No. must be just to this chapter, but it's very, just very sweet. First of all, let me offer my humble, respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. Sometime in the year 1935, when His Divine Grace was staying at Radhakund, I went to see him from Bombay. At that time, he gave me many important instructions in regard to constructing temples and publishing books. He personally told me that publishing books is more important than constructing temples. Of course, those same instructions remained within my mind for many years. In 1944, I began publishing my Back to Godhead, and when I retired from family life in 1958, I began publishing Srimad Bhagavatam in Delhi. When three parts of Srimad Bhagavatam had been published in India, I then started for the United States of America on the 13th of August, 1965. I am continuously trying to publish books as suggested by my spiritual master. Now, in this year, 1976, I have completed the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and a summary of the 10th canto has already been published as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, the 8th canto, 9th canto, 10th canto, 11th canto, and 12th canto are yet to be published. On this occasion, therefore, I am praying to my spiritual master to give me strength to finish this work. I am neither a great scholar nor a great devotee. I am simply a humble servant of my spiritual master, and to the best of my ability, I am trying to please him by publishing these books with the cooperation of my disciples in America. Fortunately, scholars all over the world are appreciating these publications. Let us cooperatively publish more and more volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam just to please His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In the 7th canto, Shukadeva Goswami described the lineage of Swayambhuva Manu. And Parikshit Maharaj, so inspired by hearing not only the names of the great personalities, but their achievements also, something about the description of their lives, their austerities, their purity, etc. He became so inspired that here he is requesting Shukadeva to describe all of the different manus. We note in the beginning of this 8th canto that the mood of on the same level as it was in the 1st canto, in the 2nd canto, there is a very sweet mood, a pleasing mood. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita as austerity of speech. There are different kinds of austerity. And we know that the message of Godhead is never revealed to someone who is not austere. Hedonist, a gross sense gratifier, he is completely preoccupied with his own gratification, and he has no intelligence to understand anything else. Whereas the devotee of the Lord, he is completely in tune to learning about Krishna, receiving knowledge from Krishna, from the spiritual master. And therefore, there is an etiquette, an austerity of speech that is described. Austerity of speech means speaking, first of all, words which are truthful,
It's very important to speak only the absolute truth. And naturally, the absolute truth is assimilated or is received from the Shastra, from Scripture. So austerity of speech involves speaking from the Shastras or in topics related to the absolute truth, either the Shruti or Smriti. And these discussions or speeches should not be unnecessarily disturbing to others, and they should be pleasing. So this is what we note here, just like we were reading in our Bhagavatam class in the VIHE. Bariyaneshate prashna. Your Sukadeva Goswami is flattering Parikshit Maharaj. And here Parikshit Maharaj is flattering Sukadeva Goswami. Your question is glorious. It is beneficial. Austerity of speech. The talk should be beneficial. Krito loka hitam nripa. It is beneficial to all kinds of living beings. Atma vit samatha pungsang shrotavyadishu ya paraha. Is concerning the topics of the absolute truth. So this is the mood in which the devotees are enlivened, both the speaker and the inquirer or the persons who are hearing. They're enlivened in such a mood. And Krishna also is enlivened. When Krishna hears, when Krishna sees that his devotees are engaged in discussing very sincerely topics relating to him, then he becomes obliged to appear there. And the devotees feel the presence of the Lord, and thus, katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. They feel satisfaction and they feel great enjoyment. And this is called culture. Learning how to enjoy on the transcendental level. Sometimes people think that the devotees are ascetics, that the devotees are not enjoying. In fact, I remember one of the earliest experiences I had in Krishna consciousness was in Vancouver. We had a very small temple. There were only 3 devotees. And we didn't have much money. So everybody had to make his own way back from Sankirtan. One guy would chant and 2 would pass out mantra cards. So we didn't, to get back to the temple, we would hitchhike back to the temple. So I was a new bhakt at that time. This is in 1969. Temple had just opened. So I was hitchhiking back and I got a lift with a truck driver. And, of course, he picked me up more out of a desire from his part to question who is this, bizarre-looking fellow with shaved head and dhoti and kurta. He began asking me who I was, which planet I was from, and what we did. So I explained that we followed the 4 regulative principles, and that completely blew him away. He said, how can you people live like that? And it's a fact that people can't understand how we can go, especially Europeans and Americans, how we can go without illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, at least gambling, something to occupy our senses, something to enjoy. But the fact is that devotees are enjoying a different level. Devotees know that there is no enjoyment in the material world There is only relative pain and pleasure. Enjoyment is not enjoyment which lasts for a few moments only. That is called chapala sukh, flickering enjoyment, and that is not real enjoyment. So the devotees are eager to, we are actually hedonists of the first order. We are the topmost hedonists because we want to enjoy more and more, but we want satisfaction. We want ever-increasing ananda, anandam buddhivardhanam, the ocean which increases. There's no such ocean that we know of. Everything in the material world is diminishing. Everything is diminishing. The body is diminishing. The power of the senses is diminishing. Every aspect of our lives is being eroded by Krishna in his form of time. Everything is in a constant state of flux. What we have today will not remain tomorrow. No matter how we try to preserve it, it will be finished. It is inevitable. Only the soul and the soul's pleasure in association with the Supreme Soul is permanent, substantial. So in our pursuit of spiritual knowledge, we should also be eager. We should acquire create the situation. It is our duty to create the atmosphere. It is the duty of everyone in the community. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is an opportunity for sadhu sangha, for association of devotees. So everyone may ask, well, where are the devotees? I want to associate with them. We may ask, because we think that there's one supreme pure devotee and everybody remains a malecha and associates with him. But that is not the way Prabhupada trained us. He wanted us all to become saintly persons. He wanted us all to become preachers, not only to the non-devotees, but to ourselves also. He wanted us to learn how to associate with each other. Is very important. So we have to create that mood and that atmosphere where each one of us will be inspired to speak something according to our realization about the nectarine pastimes of Krishna, about the length and breadth of Krishna, all the qualities of Krishna. Everything about Krishna is auspicious. So here, in the beginning of this eighth canto, the description of various manus, both past, present, and future manus are going to be described. But initially, Shukadeva Goswami, rather Parikshit, is glorifying Shukadeva Goswami and telling him that you have perfect intelligence, therefore please describe the pastimes of the great devotees. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains that there are many different kinds of incarnations of Krishna. Here we're going to talk about Manvantara, but Manvantara avatars. There are Yuga avatars, Guna avatars, such as Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. There are Leela avatars. There's so many Leela incarnations, as many incarnations as there are waves in the ocean. Try to count the waves in the ocean. Purusha avatars, such as Karana Dakshai, Garbha Dakshai, Shir Dakshai, Vishnu. So many different descriptions, and it is important that we hear about all of them, because Krishna, he is the source of all opulence in this world, and we're attracted by opulence. The very name Krishna means all attractive, And the word Bhagavan means, Bhaga means opulence, and Van means one who possesses. So Krishna is known as Sad Aishwarya Purna, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya, Viryasya Yashashastriya, Jnana Vayagyayoschaiva, Shannam Bhaga Itingana. In the Vishnu Puran it is mentioned that he is the abode of all strength, all beauty, all wealth, all fame, all knowledge, and the quality of renunciation also. So whatever qualities that we have, they are simply a tiny reflection, a tiny portion of Krishna's qualities. So if we are attracted to any mundane personality, and generally people get their pleasure by worshiping or associating with some great personality. Svavidvara hostra karai sangstuta purusha pashu. Generally, they elect some animal-like man. Dharmena hina pashu bi samana. Without dharma, everyone is an animal. You can just take it right across the board. If someone is simply interested in ahar nidra vai maithun, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then he can be dismissed as an animal. He hasn't come to the platform of human life. And unfortunately, in our present civilization, we are surrounded in a jungle with so many animal-like men. They have no idea what is the goal of life. They simply want to increase eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So in such association, one is, if you're surrounded by wild animals, you may also become a wild animal. It is very dangerous. So we have to avoid the association of such persons and try to seek out the association of saintly persons who know the progressive value of human life and who understand the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam, which are the descriptions of Krishna which are given here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna is the source of all opulence, and sometimes these persons try to imitate Krishna. Now, Prabhupada has mentioned here, especially in India, but it's also there in America. We find so many incarnations of Jesus Christ floating around. And for all intents and purposes, Westerners believe that Jesus Christ is the one true God. So those persons who are imitating Jesus Christ, basically they're also trying to establish themselves as incarnations of Krishna. So we must know what is the standard. And therefore, here Prabhupada has given the criteria by which we can discriminate between a swindler, a cheater, and an actual incarnation of God. And that is, first of all, that his appearance, his activities, his place of birth, his time of birth, etc., they'll all be described in the revealed scriptures. There are many, many examples. Srila Prabhupada would always quote about Buddha, how his mother and father were mentioned in the scripture, how his place of birth was mentioned, how the purpose of his birth was mentioned. So there's no question of making a mistake. Who was Lord Buddha? And indeed, when he came, he conquered the entire continent of India, or Bharatvarsha. He spread Buddhism throughout. His philosophy was established throughout. So he performed wonderful activities. That is the second criteria, and he was mentioned in the Shastra. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita, as far as wonderful activities go, in the 11th chapter, specifically for this purpose, Arjuna asked Krishna to manifest his universal form. Krishna did that. He understood the desire of Arjuna. Actually, the universal form was quite ghastly for a mortal like Arjuna. For anyone, it's a very ghastly form. It includes all-devouring death. Arjuna described how he saw entire armies being gnashed, being smashed against the teeth of the Lord. And he saw many ghastly forms of the Lord. Sometimes when we see a form of Durga Devi with skulls and blood dripping from her sword and, you know, many arms with many weapons, etc., we become shocked. But there are many more, much more ghastly forms of Krishna in his Virat Rupa. So he revealed this to Arjuna simply for the purpose of demonstrating that someone who claims to be an incarnation of Krishna, he must show his universal form. Sometimes people say that I am showing my universal form, but you have to have the eyes to see it. I heard that once in America. One bogus incarnation, you have to have the eyes to see. But Krishna gives the eyes to Arjuna. He said, Divyam dadami te chakshu. Me yoga aishwaram. Just behold, Arjuna, my mystic opulence. I give you the eyes to see. So, in that way, it is not so easy to just become an incarnation of Godhead. Once in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we see how great devotees deal with such bogus incarnations. Actually, once in Los Angeles, someone came to the temple, and what to speak of declaring themselves to be an incarnation, they, not even so much that, but they simply rolled on the floor in ecstasy in the temple, made a big show. So the devotees wrote to Prabhupada about this. And Prabhupada said, if someone does even that much, you kick them in the face while they're rolling on the ground, because if they're actually in ecstasy, they won't feel it. So what to speak of for someone who's imitating someone in ecstasy, someone who claims to be the actual object of worship, the actual Supreme Personality, he should be dealt with very severely, especially by the authorities. And Bhaktivinoda did that. There was one Bhishika Sena who was claiming to be an incarnation of Mahavishnu. And that wasn't so bad, but he was engaging all the local damsels in Ras Lila and polluting the entire district. So complaints came to Bhaktivinoda, but also along with the complaints, stories came that this Bhishika Sena, he's very powerful. He has some power. He has a big afro haircut, like Sai Baba, you see, has big hair. Or Samson and Delilah, more Western. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was warned that if you try to disrupt the lila and the activities and the mission of Bhishika Sena, then your life may be in danger. But Bhaktivinoda was not intimidated by these threats. And he brought that rascal, he sent his gendarmes to arrest the fellow, brought him to court, and tried him for imitating, his crime was imitating the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sentenced him to 1.5 years in jail. So that very same day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur went back to his home, and his whole family was struck down with a very serious disease, very high fever. He also included. So, still he was not intimidated. He sent that rascal to jail, and he ordered his soldiers to cut off all his hair. Get a haircut, kid. And within a very short time, that yogi died, because without his hair, he had no power, and he shriveled up and died. And of course, Bhaktivinoda and his family got better. And then later on, there were some other, there was someone imitating Balaram also. So this goes on in the material world, and we should not be fooled. There are many people who are cheated, perhaps because they want to be cheated. They want something cheap. They want something instant nirvana. But the devotees are not satisfied with such cheap incarnations. They follow what is given in the Shastra, and we must always follow what is given in the scripture, what comes to us through parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshaya vidu. This knowledge of the Absolute is coming down through preceptorial line. And it's a very easy business. It's a very easy thing to get fixed up in the disciplic succession and receive this transcendental knowledge and perfect your life. It is not difficult. But when you have ulterior motives, when you have other desires than to know Krishna, when you want to use Krishna, when you want to exploit Krishna, that is when the complications begin, the confusion, the anxiety. We create disturbance in our own lives. We are actually the master of our own destiny, captain of our own destiny. It's simply a question of following the Mahajanas, Mahajano yena gatasa pantaha, hearing the activities of these great personalities. It's exciting to hear what the Manvantaras did. If you take it as mythology, then you won't be, it'll be too fantastic. You won't believe it. But if you have a little faith that Krishna does great things, Krishna is not an ordinary man, and Krishna empowers his devotees also to do wonderful things, and it's exciting to hear about them. We do relish the activities of mundane superstars, because we want to aspire to become mundane superstars ourselves. We want to imitate their activities. But if we just develop a little humility and understand that we cannot imitate the great personalities, but we can participate, that is our goal. Not to imitate, but to participate. And there's just as much joy, there's just as much ecstasy in participating in a great activity as there is in orchestrating the great activity. You don't always have to be the top, the head honcho, as we were discussing the other day. His Holiness, American slang is head honcho. You don't always have to be the top person, but you can participate and experience just as much pleasure to be a cog in the wheel that's going back to Godhead. That is far more blissful than trying to become God. To love God is far more enjoyable than trying to be God. We should give up our aspirations to become an incarnation of God and follow the authorized incarnations. That process will bring us ultimate satisfaction. I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Even though we may achieve some enjoyment in our service to Krishna, we should never give up the mood that I'm neither a great scholar nor a great devotee. I'm simply a humble servant of my spiritual master. Once we had a realization in Bombay. We went with Srila Prabhupada to see a life member, to have dinner at a life member's house. So he was a fabulously wealthy life member, and he had a very opulent house covered in marble. It was more like a mandir than a house. He had a little mandir somewhere in the cupboard in the kitchen, but the real mandir was for him. Anyway, after the program, Srila Prabhupada said that whenever I go to the house of a wealthy man, I'm always praying to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. So we thought afterwards, when we were apart from Prabhupada, that's amazing that Prabhupada would pray to Krishna, please don't let me fall down, because Prabhupada will never fall down. He's topmost Paramahansa. And then we realized that the reason Prabhupada will never fall down is because he's always praying to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. So the devotee never becomes arrogant, he never becomes the enjoyer, because he's repeatedly turning over in his mind that I am nothing but a speck of dust. I'm nothing but a worm in stool. I'm simply a servant of my Guru Maharaj. Whatever service I'm doing, whatever pleasure is coming, that is Krishna's mercy. But I'm not the enjoyer. It's hard to speak about something when you have no experience.